Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm stirred and excited. I am so stirred and excited. God is good. I'm glad two people think so. Amen. Because God, I just tell you, they'll get blessed. Praise the Lord. I know the feeling. I know, Pastor, he's always like harping on us to say stuff and this. Listen, we get you to participate. Listen, what do people do when we watched, you ever watched the Rocky movies? And you see in the Rocky, if you watch the Rocky movies, because it's just like real boxing, Praise the Lord. But if you watch the Rocky movies, that's about as far as close to real boxing as I've gotten. You watch the Rocky movies and what do you got somebody in the corner, standing over there in the corner, and what they're doing, they're yelling things to them, they're shouting things to them, and they're encouraging them. This is what we're doing, folks. We are in a race. We are in a fight, and I'm standing here in the sidelines, and I'm encouraging you to go further, to do more. Praise the Lord. And that's what. And so if you sometimes like when the coach is yelling in the corner, when the boxer is taking all the hits, and the coach is in the corner, he isn't talking softly at him. He isn't whispering to him. He isn't saying, "Now there. I know that hurt, but you'll be okay." No, he doesn't do that. He's like, "Block that punch." Hallelujah. He's like, you know what I mean? He tells them all the stuff that you tell a boxer to do. Amen. It tells you how good I am with the sports. But, it's the same thing in every sport. You see that. You see people cheering and hollering, hooting and hollering and stuff like that. This is the way church should be. Amen. Because we're not just playing something here. We're doing something real. Hallelujah. We're running at this thing with full force. Glory to God. We're running it. We're not slowing down. We're not going to be held back. We're not going to let the devil stop us. Amen. We're going to shout right through it, and we're going to be on the other side. And so if you wonder why I encourage you to do things, I encourage you in the Word. Amen. I encourage you with the truths of the Word so you can run harder, so you can run faster, so that stupid devil ain't going to get you. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Today's message, and like I said, I'm really excited for it. Is called Walk This Way. Hallelujah. And we're not talking about an 80s song by Aerosmith and Run DMC. Anyone know what I'm talking about? A few people maybe. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I was an 80s child, so I gotta go back to my 80s references. Amen. I was actually born in the 70s, but I grew up in the 80s. Praise the Lord. But we're talking about walking this way, walking the right way. Man, we're going to walk the way that God wants us to walk. Praise the Lord. Today, I'm just going to tell you, the Word is going to change your life. It's going to set you free. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. If you connect to it. If you hear what I say, if you hear what's preached, if you hear the directions of the Scripture, praise the Lord, and you follow those directions, you are going to find the victory in your life. It's going to set you free. And I don't just say that as something I'm just telling you in general, but I'm believing it. Yeah. I'm using faith for it this morning. I'm using my faith to believe that God will set you free in some things today. Because we have to connect to what God's doing. If we want the fullness of what God has in our lives, if we want any of what God has in our lives, it's just like salvation. I use this example. I've been watching a lot of different videos and different talks. I don't know if you guys remember, we had a book here. There was a guy named Bill Weiss. He had an experience where the Lord took him to hell or let him go to hell. He has a book called 23 Minutes in Hell. You can see his testimony on YouTube. If you get a chance, I highly suggest you don't even have to pay for it. Just look at it. But the Lord, and he says, one thing I love what he says, he said, even if you don't believe my experience, he said, believe the Scripture I give you. And I'm telling you, it will change your life. It will change your outlook on how you look at things. But in these different things I was watching, one of the things I love, what one minister said is, he's like, God doesn't send any man to hell, but God is doing everything he can to keep us from that. And the forces of hell. And so that's why he sent his son. And so our path is already the path to hell. When you're not with Christ, when you don't have Jesus covering you, you're already going there. There's no stopping that. That's already the path you're on. You're born into that. Congratulations. Thanks, Mom and Dad. Hallelujah. We're born into hell. No, that's really what it is, though. That's the truth. But God does everything in his power to stop that plan from coming to pass. And some people say, there's a lot of atheists that will argue, well, why would God send me to hell? How could that be a good God? And it's just, I love what this one minister answered, this one atheist. He said, it's this simple. He said, if you don't want God here, he ain't going to force you to be with him in eternity. It's that simple. He isn't going to force you to come up to heaven. That's it. God give us free will. If you don't want him, he won't force himself on you. But see, here's the other aspect of that. People say, why did God make this place of torture with all these torture devices? God didn't. God created hell for the angels that disobeyed. That's true. But God didn't set it up with this torment and that torment. But what God did is we know that anything that is good is God. And anything that is not God is not good. Amen? But so what we know about hell is that God withdrew himself. It's a place where God does not reside. And so everything opposite of what God is, that's why hell is the way hell is. Yeah. Amen? It's not God saying, I just hate these people so much, I'm going to punish them. And then I love them so much, I'm going to send my son to save them. I mean, come on, think about the stupidity in that statement. Yeah. But that's what a lot of Christians believe. That's what a lot of folks believe as they look at God. They believe that God is just looking to torment people. But it's so not the truth. God sent his only son that we could be saved, that the world could be saved, amen? And he's doing everything he can. But what do you notice about what people do with those crazy Christians? Oh, they hate us, don't they? They hate Christians. They hate us on the news. They hate us in the public. They hate us here. They hate us there. They want to shut us up all the time. And then they complain about hell. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's free, no charge. That isn't the message today, but that's a good way to start, amen? We're going to talk about walking this way, amen? We don't even want to walk close to hell. We don't even want to walk on the edge. We don't want to be like, you know, there's some people, there's some Christians that are towing that line. They're towing that line. They're walking. They're like, oh, I could go here or there. No, I don't want to. I want to be far away from that place as I can. Hallelujah. I want to be as close to God as I can, amen? Because that's where the blessing, that's where the glory is. Why don't we turn to Proverbs 16:3? Praise God. Hallelujah. Love the word. You should too. Amen. Word sets us free. Hallelujah. Some good instruction here in the word. Proverbs 16:3 starts off. It says, commit your works to the Lord. Your thoughts will be established. Hallelujah. That's a powerful statement right there. You commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Your thoughts. Think about that. You can think about a lot of things, right? Now, see, I'm just going to tell you, if your works are committed to the Lord, you're not going to be thinking bad thoughts, okay? You're not going to be thinking wrong thoughts. But the Bible says that your thoughts will be established. That means they'll be made whole. They'll be made real. Amen? They'll come to life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word commit is an action that you must take. We have to understand this. And today we're talking about, you know, the message called Walk This Way. We're talking about walking with God. But we have to understand that there are very important directives in the Word. And one of them, we see this right here. This is an action that we must take. Committing to God is not just, it's not just saying something. It's not just thinking something. But when you commit to something, you've set it in motion. Amen? It's an action. When I say produce harvest, like when I put in my offering into the bucket, I am committing my seed to action. Yeah. Amen? So that's what I'm doing. I'm committing that. You see what I mean? I'm setting in motion something. And so there's things that we do, there's ways that we can commit ourselves to the Lord. This word works is interesting because it's equivalent of the word business, okay? So in other words, commit your business. Hallelujah. That doesn't just mean your business, like if you own a business, you know, like where you do some service or something like that. It's not just talking about that, but your business. It's like, that's my business. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody get up in your business. Hallelujah. That's what, that you know, it's business. Hallelujah. It's your stuff. It's the what you be about doing. Hallelujah. I'd be about my business. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what it's talking about is your business. Hallelujah. That's my business. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that's also why so many people fail. Because they say, that's my business, ain't your business. Hallelujah. Well, see, I'm trying to get people to commit their works to the Lord. Commit their business to the Lord. Commit what you do to the Lord. It doesn't matter what you do. Just commit it to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. I don't care if you're brushing your teeth. Commit it to the Lord, for God's sakes. Commit your business to the Lord. Why? Because when it's committed to him, then your thoughts will be established. Praise the Lord. My teeth are going to get whiter. My thoughts will be established. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By the way, they won't get whiter if you don't brush them. I got a brother who's a dentist. He knows more than I do. I promise you it's true. Hallelujah. But you see what I'm saying? We got to commit ourselves. We have to commit what we do to God. We have to consider, is what I'm doing in the plan of God? Is what I'm doing after the plan of God? You know, praise the Lord. I don't want to be a commercial every week for our other services and stuff like that, but God is saying so many wonderful things. You would do well if you got some free time to listen to last night's service in Corey, because there was a lot of things by unction that came out that were direction to us, amen, but they apply to the body of Christ. They apply to us in every body, amen. It was specifically for that church last night, but it also applies to most of us. And it would help us to understand this more. It's important that we have learned this fact or this idea in our lives, and this is why our lives have changed so much from what we were. You know, people that come in and there's space and time. People come into church and they have space and time to connect to things that God's doing, amen. There's always that period of time when you come into church. When you come in and maybe you don't know God at all and you come into church, you know, you aren't going to know much of this. God's got grace on you. And there's grace, and God's grace helps us through when we're not able, when we don't know. Amen? But see, what happens is there's a thing that we call frustrating the grace that you can do. It's like when you know to do something and you don't do it. Over and over and over again. And there's a space and time where you know to do something, you don't do it over and over again, and then all of a sudden you frustrated the grace, praise the Lord, and things stop working for you. Yeah. All of a sudden things aren't as easy as they were before. Right. See, because you can frustrate the grace of God. It's important, you know, there's a scripture that talks about a group of people that get deceived, and it says they're always learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. And see, there's people that do that. Every week you're learning something. Amen. You're hearing the word of God. You're hearing me preach. And if you listen at all, you're learning something. But sometimes people that are learning stuff don't come to the full knowledge of the truth because they don't commit it to God. They don't commit themselves to God. They never connect with it. You know what I mean? They're kind of there, but they're not absorbing there. In any given time, in any church, anywhere in the world, that there will be a certain number of people that are never connected to the work. You'll see people come and go. People that leave the church are people that never were connected. They were never committed to God. Praise the Lord, what he was doing there. It's just the truth of it's just the way things are. People that don't see change in their lives are people that never connected to God, because the word of God always changes. And one of the ways that the Lord has taught me this is by looking at my own congregation. I look at my congregation, of course, I can know by what's going on in your lives, just by seeing you, just by what you say. I can know where your spiritual life is at. I can know where it's at. Not, I don't have to have any great revelation. I just know. I know by what comes out of people's mouths where their spiritual life is at. I know whether or not they're praying. I know whether or not. Now listen, I don't know the exact amount, but I'm just telling you. This is just one of the part of the gift of being a pastor. Hallelujah, yeah. Glory to God. But you can know where people are at spiritually. And you know that people are growing. And Pastor Michael has always said to me, growth and grace. You give people time. You give them time to grow, and you give them grace, amen. Hopefully the same things you say today will not be the same things you're saying 2 years from now, amen. Hopefully the same things I'm saying today won't be the same things I'm saying 2 years from now. But, you know, there's people that just never, they never change. And they never see change. Maybe they see something in the beginning. We've had this before. We've had where we've had testimonies that seem lost, but they're not lost. The only reason that they're not there anymore is because the person reverts back to where they were. And see, that's the thing, is we all have a choice to walk this life out. God would not, the Bible would not tell us to commit it to God if we couldn't do it. If it wasn't something we could do. Now, this is something else we also know, and the scripture kept coming up a lot last night. Jesus said, take upon you my yoke, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So anything that God is directing us to do is not hard to do. It may seem hard in the flesh, but that's just the opposition trying to get you to stop doing it. But the choice to do it is always up to you. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about anything that the Word instructs us to do. Anything. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to have me instruct you in the Word. I mean, I'm not saying that in the sense that you don't need to be in church. What I'm saying is that you could be reading the Word yourself, get instruction, and still not do it and still be liable for it. Yeah. Still not. Sometimes Christians don't grow because they could study the Word, but they never do it. They never connect to it. Amen. And so we want to be people that are committed in action. Amen. It's an action that we must take. But see, this is the promise of God, and this is the wonderful thing, is that there's always that other side of it. Commit your works to the Lord. So there's the command. Yeah. Commit. Okay, so we have to say, oh, I'm committed. I'm all in. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to say this. This is going to help. You know, there's some things coming out by the Spirit right now. I just want to help you with this. Don't get frustrated if you have a heart for God and you're after Him. Don't get frustrated because of what you're not. Amen? Don't get frustrated because you're like, well, Pastor, I can't live up to that ideal. There's been too many times where I've sat in a church service, even recently, and I've thought, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can live up to that standard. Don't ever get frustrated by that. That's the devil trying to get you into condemnation. Okay? The first step that we always take is our heart towards the Lord. The first thing we commit to God is our heart. Say, Lord, I just want a heart after you. I just want to bless you. I just want to do what you want me to do. And you can even go to him and take your frustration to him and say, Lord, I haven't been able in my flesh to put this down. I haven't been able to do all this myself. But I'm going to trust you. Yeah. This is committing yourself to the Lord. I'm going to trust you to help me. Yeah. And I'm going to make the steps as I can. Yeah. And I know that I'm not always going to be perfect, but I'm going to step out in faith. Amen. Don't get frustrated by direction. Never. Because that's not the intent of the Father. That isn't the intent of the Holy Spirit. And it's certainly not the intent of your pastor. We want people to grow. We don't do this so people would fall away. I don't take great pleasure when people fall away and don't make it. No, actually, a lot of times I take it too much personally. I'm like, did I not do it? You can ask my wife. There are so many times when somebody fails and I'm like, am I a bad pastor? Like, I've literally gone through these emotions. I'm not saying, like, don't come up to me afterwards and say, there, you're a good pastor. I don't need that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is there's, you know, I'm human, too. I go through emotions. And when somebody fails or when somebody misses it, I take it personally. I don't just take it like, oh, they're just such an idiot. They didn't do the word of God, blah, 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 blah. I was like, no, did I not teach them right? Have I been showing the word? Praise the Lord. And so I have to weigh that. I've learned the Lord has helped me weigh that by looking at people that are successful in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is helping us. Amen. He wants us to go to a higher place, but we see this, that it matters how we walk. Now, I want to get into the next set of scriptures really bad here. So let's go over to Galatians 5. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, we know this. I'm going to give you a little bit of understanding. The whole Bible is written for us, and it's all good for our understanding. But specifically, what we call the Pauline epistles, this is the book of really like Romans through Jude, hallelujah, are written for the church. This is where we live. And so this is what our focus needs to be on these scriptures, amen? The other scriptures are good for us. They teach us truths. They help us understand God. And sometimes we can see things that we have in them. But we have to understand that the Pauline epistles were written to the churches who we are, amen? Amen? Anybody happy to be the church here today? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Galatians 5:16. Praise the Lord. I am in Ephesians. That is not Galatians. Hallelujah. But I was in Ephesians 5. But Ephesians 5:16 says something totally different than Ephesians or Galatians 5:16 does. Praise the Lord. It says here, glory to God. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Again, this is that. This is another instruction. You know, if you go to take a walk, you only get where you're going by continuing to walk. Right. Amen. You only get to where you want to be by continuing to walk. You aren't going to get there by standing still. Yeah. You aren't going to get there by looking backwards. You're not going to get there by taking a nap. Praise the Lord. All those things may happen, but you're not going to get to where you're going. Amen. This is something that we must activate. We must do. Walk in the Spirit. Amen. So, well, I don't know nothing about walking in the Spirit. That's why you come to church. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what we do, is we teach people how to walk in the Spirit, by the Spirit, according to the Spirit. Amen. This is where people get their help. Amen. This is how people, the Bible tells us by hearing and hearing by the Word. Amen. So we understand that we need to hear the Word to build faith. Yeah. Building faith is the only way you're going to get through life.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
right. And so, the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts or desires against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Look at that. See, this is really interesting. It says, so you do not do the things that you wish. I love that. Because we start to understand, have you ever done something that you knew wasn't right? Yeah. You ever done something you knew wasn't right, and then afterwards you just felt like garbage because you did it? Yeah. You ever felt like that? You ever gone through that? Of course you have, because you're human, right? This is the problem. This is why that happens. Because our spirits want to follow God, but our flesh doesn't. They war against one another. The Bible tells us it has a lot to say about that. But our flesh is always pulling us towards the things of the world. The spirit is always pulling us towards the things of God. Well, here's the thing. Because we are generally, as people, most of us have not been raised in this kind of environment or this understanding of the word, so we haven't been raised to follow the spirit. My kids, praise the Lord, are especially like Ezra. She's been raised since birth to follow the spirit, and so she'll know way more, but she'll be farther ahead than all of us will. And the other kids as well, amen? I just know because she's my daughter, I know. She has even an advantage over the boys because the boys aren't started off in the faith and stuff like that. That doesn't mean they can't get caught up. You understand, but I'm just saying that you'll have an easier time with some things. There's some things that we think about. I'm just going to tell you, I've noticed this in this time period. There's some things that we think about that never crosses that little girl's mind. She doesn't ever think about. She never will. You know why? Because she hasn't been raised around that. Because it hasn't been put into her. She hasn't, and this isn't because, and she is a wonderful little girl. It isn't because she is so wonderful. It's just because she's been brought up in a different environment. Amen. She doesn't understand she doesn't understand true lack. She doesn't understand not going to church, not following God. She doesn't understand those things. Yeah. Because that's how she's been raised. Amen. And there's so many people that can't understand why we do what we do. There's so many people that they think about we get excited about the idea that we get to go to that we get to go away and go to a church service somewhere else. We get excited about it. Like, this is like a family. We'll plan vacations around stuff like that. I'm just telling you the truth. Why? Because we understand our connection with God is not this frivolous thing that we just come sit in church on Sunday, hear about God, maybe read about Him once or twice in a week, talk about Him nicely once in a while too. No, we live in the Spirit. That's what we endeavor to do. I'm not saying we're perfect, you understand, but that's what we endeavor to do. We walk in the Spirit. We don't want to do things that are against what we wish. See, what the real you is your spirit. Your spirit does not want to do those bad things that you want to do. This is why a society which accepts blatant sin, accepts things that the Bible says are really wrong, is so dangerous. Because what happens is you start accepting something, and then people's consciences, when they're seared, they say, well, wait a minute, this is accepted in society, so this is good. And this is what I mean by, especially when I talk about homosexuality and stuff like that, I am not coming against homosexuals. I'm not saying that I hate these people. I love these people with all my heart. But this is the thing. If they don't have the prick in their conscience, if everybody around them is justifying and saying, well, this is why it's good, you just go ahead and do it, they'll end up in hell. And that's the sad truth of it. We're not trying to condemn people. We're trying to save people. But see, this is the thing. And you see that right here. Because your flesh, if you are taught to just fulfill the lusts of your flesh, then you're going to lean towards whatever your flesh wants to do. Some people's flesh is different. There's some people that don't have a problem with homosexuality. Some people have a problem with pornography. Others don't. Some people have a problem with alcohol. Some don't. Some people have a problem with drugs. Some don't. You, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Some people have a problem with food. Some don't. Some people have a problem with needing to be recognized. Some don't. You understand? There's all different things. We all have our things that we deal with. Amen. We all have our things that are pulling us away from the things of the Spirit, because the Spirit equalizes all of us. That's what I love about God. He doesn't care where you came from. He doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't care what you look like. Doesn't care what your background is. Doesn't care who your mommy or your daddy was. Doesn't care what they did. All He cares about is what He wants to do in your life. Amen. That's all He cares about. He doesn't care about any of that stuff. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. It doesn't matter. He doesn't care. He doesn't look at you and say, well, you're male, I can't use you, or you're female, I can't use you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He doesn't look at any of that stuff. Only humans do. Only humans that are so in enveloped in the flesh. Those are the ones that do. And so this is why church, that when churches are not teaching people to pull away from the flesh and do what the Spirit wants to do, this is why they become a liability to people. And this is also sometimes why people don't like us. Because listen, everybody's fine with bold preaching until it starts stepping on their toes. But once it starts stepping on your toes, you're like, oh wait, you have a decision. You follow the flesh, you follow the spirit. I'm going to just tell you, most people follow the flesh. Most people will follow the flesh. That's the absolute truth. How do we know that? Because the Bible tells us that narrow is the way to God, and wide is the path to destruction. Narrow is the way to God. Why is that? Because God's made it narrow? No. Because people walk how people want to walk. They don't follow the Spirit. They follow. Listen, I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to you Christians who are serving and doing good. Just because you're here doing things, and I'm not just talking about, you know, I'm just talking in general. You know what I mean? I'm not saying all the people that serve in my church, oh, you're all bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying anyone's bad. What I'm saying is that we all have decisions all the time to make. I do this all the time. I deal with this all the time. I'm aware of it all the time. I go to the Lord. I say, Lord, do not let me be deceived all the time. When was the last time you did that? See, well, some people, they don't care about being deceived. As long as it makes it feel good, they'll be deceived. Yeah, that's the way they live. How do you know? Because when the word starts offending you, when what's preached starts, when I'm preaching out of the word and it starts offending people, you know what I mean? It starts making them mad or making them hurt or whatever. They embrace that deception. Because that thought is the, I understand what it's like. You don't think, listen, I don't like going to church if I come out of there and feeling like, you know what, that message wasn't for me at all. It didn't step on my toes at all. It ain't been church unless my toes have been stepped on. I'm just telling you the truth. You think I'm lying? I'm not lying. I think every single time, you know, when Pastor Michael was sitting here, probably half the time he was preaching, I'm sitting there going, I'm a worthless pastor. I'm not any good at this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, but we go through thoughts. We all go through the same thoughts. Sooner or later you're going to learn it. We're all human. Amen? You know, we may have different gifts, but we're still human carrying these gifts. The Bible says we're earthen vessels. That isn't like saying that we're this wonderful, big, strong thing. You know, we're not. We all have a choice to do this. Amen? And so we all go through the same thing. But we don't go to church. We go to church to get instructed and corrected into the things of righteousness so that we can do what God has us to do. Because guess what? Guess what's in what God has us to do? That's where healing is. That's where blessing is. That's where freedom is. That's where everything you've ever desired is. That's where all those things, that's where the glorious presence of God is. Why do we want those things? Because that's where God is. People can't understand fellowship. You know, I was speaking out of the Spirit. God wants to commune with us. God commune. Listen, some people think I'm weird. I know some of the ladies on The View would really have a problem with this. I'm just telling you. But God speaks to me. I hear his voice. God speaks to me every day. I hear his voice. But Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. How can you know your voice if you don't hear his voice? When was the last time you heard his voice? When you could say, that was God. I know that was God. God speaks to me every day. And he doesn't speak to me every day because I'm a pastor. He speaks to me every day because I'm a born again child of God who has been spirit filled. And I listen for the voice of God. Now, I don't do it perfectly. I endeavor to hear it more. Because I don't want to just hear it. It's not good for me to hear it at least once a day. I want to hear God's voice all day long. I want to be so enraptured with God that I'm no earthly good. That he got to take me out of here. That he got to whisk me away because I'm just so, that's where I want to be. Because the presence of God, feel all the stuff in this world. Somebody can throw something at you and be like, whoo, glory to God. You know what they did to Stephen? They were throwing stones at Stephen. He was so enraptured with God. It didn't matter. He said, Lord, don't hold this against them. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. That's where I want to be. Go ahead, throw a stone at me. I'm rubber, you're glue. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, God, this is all comes from walking in the Spirit. And this is why we need to learn. We need to desire to walk more fully in the Spirit of God. Amen. We need to be people that overcome those thoughts. We have to remember, child of God, we can teach this so many times, over and over and over again, but most thoughts that come into your head are not even your thoughts. The devil is passing things through you like paper airplanes. The Bible calls them darts, but he's throwing them at you all the time. You ever have a thought you shouldn't have? And then you start feeling bad because you had that thought? You ever had a bad thought about somebody and then felt bad about thinking about it? And you know, dear Jesus, if I ever said that out loud, you know what I'm saying? Listen, listen, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Have you ever smiled at somebody and been like, oh man, and the thoughts are just coming and you're like, and I don't want to think that way about this person. You know, one of my prayers, and this is no slight on you, this is just the way it is, but one of my prayers is, God, help me love your people more. Help me love your people like you do. Help me see them like you do. Because I don't always see people, I'm human, I don't always see people like God sees them. Sometimes I see people and their stuff. Sometimes I see people and I want to slap them. Sometimes I see people and I want to kick them. You think I'm lying? I'm not lying. I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. Now, if I did start slapping and kicking, I probably wouldn't be a pastor very long. But I have those thoughts and those feelings, and you do too. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I know, because I've been in your car with you when you've been driving and somebody cuts you off. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That may be what you're saying, but that ain't what you're thinking. Yeah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we want to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Amen. So we do not do the things that we want to walk in the Spirit, so we do the things that we wish. So our hearts aren't condemned and convicted by those things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Praise God. You know why? Because the Spirit will always lead you into the right things. You don't have to worry about the law. It doesn't say the law doesn't exist. It doesn't say the law isn't good. It says you're not under it. You're not under its bondage. You can just walk freely. You don't have to worry about, oh, did I observe this? Did I observe that? Did I do this right? Did I do it? No. If you walk by the Spirit, you'll just know what's right. I'm just telling you the truth. It's so easy. I mean, sometimes it's so easy, we completely miss it. Sometimes there's been times, this happens so often, making a dumb small purchase didn't mean anything. But I got to check about it. And I sit there going back and forth, back and forth. It's like, why not just be led by the Spirit? If I got to check about it, just don't buy it. Yeah. Amen? But then I've had big, major purchases that I've made, and I haven't even questioned because I knew it was God. Because I knew it was God. It was just the Spirit of God. I was like, see, that's being led by the Spirit. You can know all things. The Bible says that you have the anointing from the Holy One. You know all things. The children of God should know all things. What do I do here? Yeah. I know all things by the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And now it tells us what the works of the flesh are. So if you need to know what the difference between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit are, guess what? It lays it out for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies. By the way, anything in any of these, even if it's a little bit, it's included. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Some of these things, I know you don't know what they are. You might not know what they are, but you know what a lot of them are. It would do you good to learn what they are. But you can basically chalk it up to this. If it ain't good, it ain't God. Hallelujah. It's just the way it is. Praise the Lord. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murders. What did Jesus say? He said, if you hate your brother, you've killed your brother. You've murdered him. You can. So Jesus held us to a higher standard. Drunkenness. Oh, there's one that people don't like to hear. Drunkenness. Revelries. That's like Mardi Gras type partying out in the street. Amen. Like that. We're going to see what happens when you live according to these things. It'll scare you. It'll scare the hell out of you. Praise the Lord. And the like. So anything that's like any of those things, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Those are lines I don't want to toe. Those are lines I don't want to stand on the edge of and say, oh, well, am I partying? Am I partying too much? If you're partying at all, well, I've got to question that. Am I drunk? I don't know. I don't know if I'm drunk. I don't want to toe that line. You? Not when hell's at stake. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. This is the word. Praise the Lord. I mean, in some of these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness. God said if you lusted after a woman in your heart, you've already committed that sin. Yeah. Fornication is unmarried, premarital relations, sex. That's what that is. Outside of wedlock. God said that people who practice such things are in danger of hell. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now listen, if you've been caught up in any of these things, it isn't to sit there and say, well, no, you got to worry about going to hell. It says those who practice such things. Yeah. You know, there is a difference between struggling with something, because people can struggle. It's the same thing. Addictions would fall under here. Any addiction would fall under here, whether it's alcohol, whether it's tobacco, whether it's drugs, whether it's any addiction could fall into here. But see, there's a difference between, food, pornography. It doesn't matter what your addiction is, you understand? So it covers every one of us in here, just so you know. Every one of us in here is included in this. Every one of us has flesh that will lead us to one of these things. I'm just telling you, so don't sit there and feel like, oh, he's picking on me. I ain't picking on you. I'm picking on everybody, because every human that ever existed, these are the things that their flesh wants to do. It's just, it's that simple. It's not hard. Amen? Our goal is to not live by that, right? We don't want to live by that. Now, God is not looking over us and say, oh, they slipped up once. I'm pulling eternal life away from them, sending them right to hell. That's not what he's saying. But he's also saying, don't sit there and ignore it either. You know what I mean? Our God is a loving Father. You know when your child screws up, you know the difference of when they screw up and they were doing it deceptively, or they screwed up and they really just missed it. And you have much more mercy on someone who just happened to miss it because they were trying to do right, they just didn't know, or maybe they're ignorant in an area or something like that. However, even though that may not be the destination for everybody that practices these things, the destruction here on the earth can be. And so you look at things like, you know, you look at different things like, praise the Lord. We've seen people who have spent their entire life partying. They can get saved. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But they may have destroyed their body through the process. Right. Is God just going to swoop in and save them from all of that? It doesn't work that way. And see, so we can set things in motion from a lifestyle of doing things that we can't backtrack on. Amen? And so we need to learn to follow God. The Spirit of God wants to lead us into things, all the things that are true enjoyment and true joy. Praise the Lord. I ain't getting very far very fast. I don't know if you noticed that, but I just did. But there is all the things that are true joy and truly that bless us and that God wants us to experience. Like, the Spirit will lead us into that. He wants to lead us into that without the restriction. Because here's the thing. You know, I'll just take one of... praise the Lord. Anyone from my life, I used to love to get high. I used to get high all the time. As much as I could, I'd get high. But see, the thing is that it always robbed from me somehow. There was hangovers. There was, you know, being burned out. There was all different kinds of things that I dealt with. And so when I walked in that lifestyle, you know, I always felt just a little bit like garbage. You know what I'm saying? The same thing, and not coming down on anybody, but just like when I was a smoker, you know, when I smoked, I smoked up to 3 packs a day at one point. So I smoked a lot of cigarettes. And when I did so, I just, you know, I'd wake up in the morning, you know, hacking up a lung and stuff like that. And it got to the point where it was really affecting me physically. And so you understand that like the blessing of the Lord doesn't do those things. And so I'm not saying that, you know, somebody who gets tripped up and stuff necessarily is going right to hell or anything like that. But you understand it removed from you in life. And God wants to increase you in this life. He wants you to feel good in your body. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is why we have to walk in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, praise God. I'm going to continue on. But it goes on to say that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. They've crucified the flesh. That's what our cross is, right? Crucifying the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, before I bring up, I'm going to bring up 25 in the Amplified, but before I do that, I want to talk to you about the fruits of the Spirit there. Because what are the fruits of the Spirit? The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all those things. Amen? So you look at all those things are generally things that we all want. Amen? But in context, you know, I love in the beginning of this section of Scripture in my Bible, it says walking in the Spirit. In the beginning, you remember I talked to you about walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking was a what? Choice. Right? It was something that we do. It was an action that we put into place. Right? So if walking in the Spirit, if walking, and then it tells us what the works of the flesh, if walking in the flesh is a choice, then walking in the Spirit is also a choice.
Right.
That means, listen to me, because we're going to get into some good stuff here. Joy is a choice.
Yes.
You're waiting for joy, and that's why you're not seeing it, because you're not walking in it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Peace is a choice. You're looking for peace, but that's why you're not seeing it, because you're not walking in it. There's a difference between looking and walking. Listen, if I get into a race, if there's going to be a marathon or a half marathon or whatever they do, all the kinds of 5Ks and 2Ks and 22, 24Ks and all kinds of Ks. You know what I'm talking about. There's whatever K you're in. But if you're standing on the sideline, do you get a prize? No. But if you compete and you win, you do. Right? So the same thing is with us. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, if we're on the sideline looking, God didn't say seek peace. Or, I mean, like look at peace. He didn't say look at joy. He said walk in it. Walk in it. You choose to walk in it. How do I choose to do that? You refuse the things that aren't joy. You refuse the things that aren't peace. You refuse the things that aren't, go right down the list. You refuse the things that aren't long-suffering. You refuse the things that aren't love. You refuse the things that aren't kindness. You refuse them. You refuse the things that aren't goodness. If it's not good, it's not for me. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Yes, you do know. Well, you say, Pastor Jeff, how do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. The Bible said you can, and God isn't a liar, right? When was the last time God lied? Oh, never. God has never lied. Praise the Lord. You ever seen God? You ever hear God lie? God didn't lie. He's not a man that he should lie. In fact, he doesn't lie. He does not. He not lies so much, he tells us he doesn't lie. That's what the Bible tells us. He tells us it didn't lie. So even if you're like, but I don't know if this is true. But the Bible told me that he doesn't lie.
Right.
He said, well, I didn't know that he doesn't lie. Well, I just told you he didn't, and the Bible tells you so. Amen? Google it. Google it. I'm not a man that I should lie. He's not a man that he should lie. Or the Son of Man. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Just Google it. You'll find it. Somebody Google it for me right now. Just Google it. God is not a man that he should lie. Praise the Lord. And the first one to answer is a winner. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I know it's coming. Numbers 23:19. Rachel won. You get the prize today. Hallelujah. So what does she get? Well, she just gets the happy prize. Somebody give her a brownie. We got brownies afterwards. Rachel gets the first one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if we don't, the next time we have brownies, Rachel, you get the first one. Hallelujah. Or cookie, whatever you prefer. Hallelujah. So we have to walk in these things. See, this is the group people are looking. They're like, I don't feel it. It's not a feeling.
Right.
It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a feeling. It didn't say the feelings of the body are. It said, no, it tells us what the feelings of the flesh. Oh, this is good. This is real good. The feelings of the flesh are this. It really is what it's saying. It's uncleanness, lewdness, adultery, fornication. Those are feelings. That's what the flesh feels like doing.
Yeah.
Right? See, you're trying. What people are trying to do, they're trying to experience God through the flesh. But see, when you experience God through the Spirit, your flesh will feel it. But you can't go to the flesh first to find God, because God is not in your flesh. He's in the Spirit. You got to look for God where God is, and he is not in your flesh. In the flesh, no good thing dwells, the Bible tells us. Nothing good is in the flesh. Why? Because that's where sin is. So we got to, through the Word, through the Spirit, we have to put to death the deeds of the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? And so this isn't, listen, again, we're not talking about living perfectly. You probably aren't going to live perfectly as long as you're here. But what we have to do is we have to strive for this perfection and let the Lord lead us, because what the Spirit will do is the Spirit will reveal to you, oh, this is something you need to correct. You'll get your toes stepped on, and you have a choice. I can go out and pout, or I can stay in and get blessed. Because that's what happens, and that's all it is. People who get their toes stepped on in church and go out and get mad about it are just people that are pouting. They're little babies. They're spiritual babies. They're acting like babies. They want everything to come to them. They want everybody to look at them and to bless them. It's garbage. You want to live that way, fine, but you're not going to get blessed by God living that way. It's not going to help you. That's why we don't have a pat on the back ministry. There are plenty of churches, though, I'll tell you right now, plenty of churches that will be a pat on the back ministry. And they'll help you with just that. They'll give you a pat on the back. You'll go away feeling good for a second, but you'll still have destruction in your life. You want to live according to the Word of God. You want to live according to the truth. You want to live according to the Spirit. Your life will change. How do I know? Well, my life has changed. My wife's life has changed. Mark's life has changed. Caleb's life has changed. Chris's life has changed. Rachel's life has changed. John and Liz, Does your life change? Hallelujah. The Word of God works.
Amen.
It always works. Why? Because it's the truth. Praise the Lord. See, like this isn't this. We're not saying like, and this is a great thing. Is that this is open to absolutely everybody?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I didn't stop at them because nobody else's life has changed. By the way, I just said everybody's life changed at some level. But do we continue to keep walking in it? That's our choice. Do we continue to keep walking in the way of God? Sure, there'll be things you'll get. You know how many times my pastor has said things that have offended me? Dear Lord, if I could count. You know how many times that I was like done with him? I was done with all that? But I knew. I asked myself the same thing that when Jesus turned to his disciples after everyone left him, and Jesus turned to his disciples and he said, are you not going to? And they looked at him and they said, Lord, where else would we go? You alone have the truth.
Right.
Now, I'm not telling you to call me Lord, but we're preaching the truth.
Yeah.
My pastor was preaching the truth. My pastor is not a perfect man. He does not live perfectly. He has many flaws in the flesh. Not saying that because I'm saying that. You know what I'm saying? Just because he's a human. You know what I mean? I'm not saying, oh, I'm sitting there picking him apart. No, and I'm not saying that at all. But he has flaws in the flesh because he's human. But he follows the Spirit of God. He follows the Word of God. And because of that, that is what blesses him. And the same thing. Every time I was offended, I'm like, where else would I go? I know what the other places have been like. I know what these other goofy churches. I'm not saying every church is bad. You understand. God will call you somewhere. But God isn't calling you around every single time you get mad. Every time you get upset. Dear Lord, this is what this nation, this is what this country has done to people. It's making us invalids. This government, this constant handout and give everybody everything they always want is making people invalids. It is not all about just getting what you want. There is more at stake. There is more to it. But God wants you more blessed than the government. They don't really want you blessed. They want you in control. And see, because people that get everything from the government are people that can get control. Talk about socialism. It leads to communism. You want to see what communism is like? Look in China, where they're not allowed to have church like ours, or not allowed to say what they want. Look in North Korea, where they can't even go from town to town without government permission. What do you think the end of these things is? Government control. And who do you think is at it? The devil's at it. Praise the Lord. Are you talking about politics, Pastor Jeff? No, I'm talking about what's happening in your country right now. And if you keep accepting this kind of garbage, you're going to fall right in line. You'll vote it right in. And that's what people are doing. The church is doing it. Because, see, the church is so spiritually dumb that they can't even look at what's going on and say, that's not God. Praise the Lord. They can't even look and say, that's not God. I'm talking about anything. Look at all the social turmoil in the world. It's the church's fault. Because the church, at one time, the church spoke and people listened.
Yeah.
They understood, wait a minute, we have these laws. You understand these laws in this nation? A lot of these good laws and these freedoms and the Constitution we have, you understand? We got that from here, right?
Yeah.
You do know that, right? That it wasn't just some man that made that up. That was God, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And unless the people of God start walking like the people of God, they'll miss out on all God has for them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I didn't mean to get all that, but glory to God, it was good. See, well, there's a lot at stake from doing what's right. And you think that, you know, it's not just in your life. It's like I'm just this little person here in Mayville, New York, and I don't have a lot of... Yes, you do. Because the first thing you got is you got the ability to pray.
Amen.
What can you change in prayer? Everything. In fact, what are you told to do? You're told to complain about it? Nope. I thought we saw something like that in here about complaining. Let me just see. Yeah, there's something in the Bible about complaining and getting into your own stuff and creating strife and all these things. Oh, boy. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's setting us free, glory to God. God wants us free. But we can't be bound by the things of the world and be free in Christ. The two things don't work. You know what I mean? And so all these things, we're bringing us up higher. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. We, you know, hallelujah. Well, we certainly couldn't get... See, I need more than 12 minutes to preach a sermon. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, and this was on my heart during worship. Worship is great. Worship is good. We have worship. You know why we have worship in church? If you really want to know why. Like we do in a normal church Sunday. It isn't so we're... it's not really a worship service per se. That is to prepare the hearts of the people to be able to receive from the word, because that's what church is about. Worship with God does not have to happen. It can happen in a corporate setting, and it's good when it does. We could have, and we should have, probably will have at some point, just worship services where we just come together to just worship God. But that's not, see, a lot of people have mixed that up about church. They come in and they want to have 2-hour long worship services, and then they preach 10 minutes of the word, and they wonder why the people are still living like jack wagons. It's because they're not getting that change, amen? They're not getting things. It's not bad to worship God. I'm not saying that. It's a good thing to worship God. We should spend our lives in worship to God. In fact, we are told to worship God through our bodies and in our the way that we live. Amen. The things in our deeds, the things that we do. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. So here's the thing. If you reject the fruits of the Spirit, you will not benefit from them. You can't benefit from them. If you say, well, I you reject it, you push it away from you, you can't benefit from it. You will never have joy if you reject joy. And the things that cause joy. You know, often times when you're going through troubles, I give you the, you know, I love to give in Philippians chapter 4, starting around verse 6. And, you know, many of you have gotten those verses. And if you haven't, read them. It tells you how to get into peace. Yeah. Right in those scriptures. By what you meditate on, what you think on, what you talk about, what you think about. You know, do you go back to the sermons and think, you know what, pastor gave us the answer. See, when we're preaching on Sunday and on Tuesday, we're giving you the answers for your life. Amen. You might not need it today. But see, some people, they have this idea, well, I'm good, I don't need church. I don't need it today. Well, you're gonna. There's gonna be a day where you'll need what was preached today. Didn't I send that out? I thought that's what I sent out. Yeah, yesterday. Like, there's gonna be a day. You might not need it today, but there will be a day. There's people that aren't here today that are gonna suffer because they didn't hear this message. And it isn't because God's fault. And they're going to sit there and say, well, God, God, God. And they may even come to me at some point and say, pastor, pray. Can't do anything. Right. You skipped out because something else was more important. Yeah. Something else that didn't mean anything was more important than getting the help that would have changed your life. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and again, I sent that message out by the Spirit. So there is a clue for us, you know. They say, well, pastor, you know, your wife isn't here. Well, yeah, she wasn't feeling well today, so she's taking rest. There's times where it's, but you know what? She'll also listen to this message. Probably more than once. You know why? Because that's what my wife does. She, you know, that's what we do. We listen to, we don't just listen to sermons when we're in church. We listen to sermons all the time. There's been times where I've re-listened to my own sermon because I knew that the Lord had revealed things in it that I needed to know. Why? Because I'm not preaching according to my flesh or I'm preaching according to the Spirit. Amen? Well, I got 5 minutes to get through 3/4 of a sermon. Praise the Lord. But that's okay. Maybe we'll pick it up next week. Maybe we won't. Walking is an action that must be taken. Temptation pulls on you. We have to understand that. You ever notice that? Temptation is a pull, right? Whenever you do something you know you're not supposed to, temptation is pulling you, right? You feel that pull? Why don't we start getting pulled by the things of the Spirit? Why don't we start getting tempted by joy? Why don't we get tempted by joy? Oh, man, wait a minute here. I think I could do this. I think I could do it. I think I could be tempted by joy. Oh, man. Remember Pastor Michael was preaching? Praise the Lord. God, glory to God. He was preaching about walking in joy. He was preaching about laughing through it. Amen. That's being tempted by joy. I'll tell you what. You start dabbling in the Spirit. Glory. The Bible says, do not be drunken with wine, which is excess. But be filled, and some versions say by being filled by the Holy Spirit. Guess what? You start sipping on the Holy Ghost, and you won't want to sip on other stuff. You start getting tempted by joy and peace and love. Oh, glory, hallelujah! Let's get tempted by things that will benefit us. Amen. The devil's going to tell you you're going to have temptations in your flesh. You ain't going to stop that, because the devil doesn't like that you want to live right. But we can start choosing to be tempted by the things of God. Amen. How do we do that? By walking in them, by choosing. Amen. Amen? How do I do that when I'm not feeling it? Don't focus on the feelings, because it's the feelings that, again, it's getting you back there. You start, like he's very practical, start laughing, start doing something that leads you to that way. Start confessing, start praising. This is why we talk about praise all the time. Start praying. You can't feel bad very long when you start praising God. You're feeling horrible. You just don't feel like you can do. You just lost everything that you could possibly lose. And you start looking up to heaven and you go, praise you, Lord. I praise you, God, because you're good. You have never left me nor forsaken me. You always take me higher. I am the head, not the tail. You start praising God. Hallelujah. And guess what? Your feeling is going to start changing. Hallelujah. How do I know? Because I've done it. And I do it. Amen. Be tempted by righteousness. Instead of looking for joy, why not walk in it? Amen. Galatians 5:25 in the Amplified says, if we live by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the, and then it explains it here, because that's what the Amplified does, it kind of opens it up. Look at this. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit, not by the flesh. This is what it is. Our conduct needs to change from being controlled by the flesh to being controlled by the Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yep, I can't get there. Yep. Walking, you guys remember the scriptures in 1 Peter where it says, let's just real quick, let's flip there. 1 Peter 5:6. I want to make this connection because I saw this connection this week and I just think that it was good. So real quick, just 1 Peter 5:6. Okay. It says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. That means not holding on to care yourself, but casting it on him. If you're thinking about it, if you're worrying about it, you're caring about it. He says, cast that on him. So whatever you're caring about, whatever you're worrying about, whatever you're thinking about, put it on God, not on you. Just keep giving it to God. Amen. And then it goes on to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary walks. Amen. The devil, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That word walks is the same word walks back in Galatians 5 where it said walk not in the spirit, but in the, or walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Amen. Telling us to do that. Now listen to this. The word, it's the same word. It's I'm going to try to pronounce this. Perpeteo, I think, is the Greek way of saying it, the Greek word. And what it means is make due use of opportunities. Praise the Lord. It means make due, so walking, make due use of opportunities. This is an opportunity, I'm going to make use of it. So the Bible tells us to do that, but it also says that the devil does that. Now I want to connect this, I'm going to do this in just real quick time. How does that connect to us? We'll listen to this. Making due use of opportunity. How does the devil trap you? He walks about seeking whom he may devour. So the devil's walking around and he's looking for opportunity. Opportunity. He says, there's opportunity, I'm taking it. There's opportunity, I'm taking it. There's opportunity, I'm taking it. See, we have the same thing. We walk about looking for opportunity, but the devil's doing it. The devil's looking in our own lives trying to find that opportunity. So he looks for that door that you open just a little bit and there's his opportunity. That's why we're told to walk in the Spirit, because the Spirit will close all them doors. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he traps you by convincing you that walking by the flesh is what you desire. That's where the thoughts come from. That's why people get deceived. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I've noticed this in people who perpetually miss the church, that what will happen is the more church they miss, they'll start going down that road and all of a sudden things will bother them more. Things that are happening in church. Things that are being said and pretty soon you won't see them. Because what happens is people will start, they start walking, they open that door of opportunity for the devil to come in. The devil starts coming in, and then all of a sudden they're starting to get offended by everything. They're getting upset by everything. They're being snarky with their spouse. They're having fights. They're having contentions at work or wherever. You understand? This is what happens. Because the devil, what people have done is they start opening the doors, and that devil just comes in, and he wreaks havoc. He comes in, because the devil doesn't come in. The devil doesn't come in. You understand? He didn't come in with a pitchfork. Where's the pitchfork? I don't got a pitchfork up here. I'm looking for something to grab. I need a pitchfork, amen? Put that on the list of things to get. We need to get a pitchfork up here. He doesn't come in with a pitchfork with pointy ears and a beard and a tail. And he's like, I'm the devil. I'm here to kill, steal, and destroy. He doesn't do that, does he? What he does is he weasels his way in. The Bible says in Genesis that he was the serpent. I was going there, but I didn't get there. The serpent was the most cunning of all the beasts of the field. And he slithered in there just like a snake does. And he got in there and he said, Adam and Eve, did God really tell you this? Did God really tell you that? Oh, is that pastor really telling you the truth? Is he really preaching the word of God? Is this really what I should do, or should I do what I feel? And he'll give you those feelings. He'll say, here, feel this. Feel this. Oh, you don't need to be there. You don't need to raise your kids in the admonition of the Lord, even though the Bible said to. You don't need to be in the house of the God. You don't need to be connected to the body, even though the Bible says to. I'm not just talking about being a trap, I'm talking about being connected to. See, all these things, you know, people that think that they can have church on their own. They can have God by themselves, deceived by the devil. See, they take those thoughts, they drink it. It's Kool-Aid. They're drinking that Kool-Aid. They're sucking it down. They're wondering why their life's wrecked. Well, then they start saying, well, God doesn't really work. And you start seeing it fall apart. I've watched it time and time and time again. Not just as a pastor. I watched it as a congregation member. You'll see it in people's lives where people were once, they were doing things, they were growing, then all of a sudden it's like, they're back. They're going backwards. Wait a minute, what's happening here? I haven't preached anything different. I haven't changed the message that I've been preaching. I preach the same things I've always been preaching. I preach the Bible, I preach faith. I haven't changed anything. I don't say anything different than I ever did. Glory to God. I'm helping somebody. I'm just telling you. Hallelujah. See, the thing is not everybody can hang, hallelujah, for a long time. Because some people are just so enraptured in the flesh. And you know it. You can see it. You can see it in their lives. Because you start looking at their lives. If you know them personally, you'll see it in their lives. It's everything is about the flesh. What they feel, what they desire, what they want. What they feel, what they desire, what they want. Me, 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 me. You get the idea. Hallelujah. I'm just helping again. I'm not trying to attack people, but I'm trying to set things up for you to understand. The devil's coming. He's looking for due opportunity. And if you give him the opportunity, he will find it. He will take it. I went way further than what I was planning, but we needed to get those points. Remember, Satan was the most deceptive. He tried to get Jesus in the weakest points of his life, and that's where he'll always nail you. So let's not be people that are fools to the devil's devices, ignorant to the devil's devices. Let's just stand. We'll say, you know what? We're going to stand against the devil. When God deals with the hearts, we'll just be people that will say, you know what? I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with what God shows me. Amen. And we're going to see, praise the Lord, because I'm telling you what, God has taken this church somewhere good. Amen. He's taking us there together. We've already gotten good places. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, if it's been this good, if it just stayed this good, that'd be great. But it's going to be better. Amen? Hallelujah. And you're going there with me. I have great faith in you. We love you. God's for you. He's taken us to places that we can't even imagine yet. We're going to step into things. Oh, glory. We've already started stepping in it. Amen? Praise the Lord. We might as well start smelling what we've been stepping in. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. And experiencing it.